It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Culture Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Culture Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning, Caparo Valley Culture Show. Dick Newman bringing your report this week. Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. Go through some scores from the last couple nights. There were a few games on Thursday night when Lacaparo played, but there were only two games in this immediate area, and that was our game with Mineota, and everybody knows the outcome of that. And then Dawson Boyd shut out McRae 52-0. But games last night from our area, Canby defeated the Yellow Medicine East. It was tied at 6-6 going into the fourth period, and Canby came out and won by the score of 27-6. And then bowled all over our next week's opponent, Lakeview, 54-6. Some other scores from our area: New London Spicer defeated St. Cloud Apollo 55-23. Tracy Milroy Ballaton defeated St. James 29-20. Here's a score: 101 points. Piers defeated Montevideo 67-34. Brandon Evansville Ashby over Ortonville 36-6. Albany shut out Minnewaska 21-0. Border West all over Ottertail Central 43-14. And KMS to shut out ACGC 41-0. So that brings us up to our game. Tony Smith's in the studio. And what can you say? I mean, number one team in the state. Everybody knew that, and but just was not to be.
Yeah. Good morning, guys. You know, it's as you said, number one team in the state. We knew that they are very, we used the word here a little bit earlier, surgical in how they run their offense. And it's really, they've got a lot of different things happening, but it's really about four or five different plays. And whether it's formations or motions or who's getting the ball, you know, it's always something new, a little bit of different for them every week. But yeah, it's that size and their ability to move and get to the next level. They're a really, really good football team. And, you know, they're one of the number 23 or 24 wins in a row now. So it's they've been hitting on all cylinders this year as well. Getting into the game, you know, we had senior night, last game, our last regular season home game. We had the 13 seniors. I would say that is the biggest number we've had in a number of years, that 13 seniors. So, you know, you try to get a night where it can be memorable for them. Unfortunately, with this one, it's maybe memorable in the wrong direction. But at least I felt like in the first couple of drives, it was 5, 6, 7 yards, not the 30, 40 yard runs or pass plays that they were getting. And then it just kind of continued and snowballed on us. And ended up, what was it, 67-0 at halftime. You know, they had scored one just before half. And we'll get to halftime and talk to them guys a little bit and kind of get a plan for going into halftime, for the second half. Had all those kids running around at halftime there. They were all excited, those elementary kids. Yeah. They didn't care what the score was. They were just excited to be out under the lights.
Right.
So, you know, afterwards, as I talked to you guys after the game, we knew that this was going to be on the schedule. We'll put our plan together. We'll get out there and execute to the best of our ability, and then we'll get ourselves ready for Lakeview. Yep. And so Stat-wise, Davis Patzer was 5 of 14 for 41 yards and an interception. You know, he had a couple of completions. Well, we went back to those pass plays midway through the second quarter, and they do a nice job defensively then of taking those things away. You can get it once or twice, but for sure not three times. And so Gavin Meyer was also 2 of 3 for 13 yards. Rushing, Gavin was one. Gavin Meyer, one attempt for 5. Landon Weber, 12 attempts for 2 yards. And Davis Patzer, 2 attempts for a negative 2. Receiving, Brock Biernold had a reception for 18 yards. Nolan Smith had 2 receptions for 12 yards. Jackson Fernolds had 1 reception for 11. Dylan Kiming had 1 for 9. And Gavin Mortensen had 2 receptions for 4 yards. Defensively, Gavin Mortensen had 6 tackles. Gavin Meyer had 4. Tygan Allpress had 4. Brock Biernold had 2. Davis Patzer, 2. Tyler Earp, 2. Dylan Kiming, 2. Landon Weber, 1. Jace DeLean, 1. Jesse Wynn, 1. Jax Wells, 1. Carter Moen with 2 tackles. Samarson Sepinon had a tackle. Blake Wells had a tackle. Noah Meyer actually, that should not be because he was not in the ball game. Drew Borsted had 2 tackles. So punting-wise, I mean, we got, what I think I counted, we ended up with 9 punt attempts, and Brock had an average of 40 yards on the night. Unfortunately, we had 2 of those returned, and, you know, we knew that they like to set up. If they're not bringing 7-8 guys on a block, we know that they wanted to return to their bench. They set up a wall. And for the most part, we had done a nice job kicking to a side and not letting that happen. Well, then we had their first punt attempt that they returned for the touchdown. They came off, and I did not give a direction because I was talking to another kid about some stuff. And then that happened, and so, you know, that I needed to make sure that we got that done. And then the second one, I thought, you know what, we're just going to kick it and not go directionally. That ended up biting us in the long run. But you know, we got together yesterday, talked a little bit about it. Then it was, we didn't show a whole lot, if any, film on them or on the game. And we somehow magically forgot to do that yesterday. And then we moved.
Accidentally on purpose.
Accidentally on purpose. And so we went right into Lakeview, watching some film on them, and went over some formations, what they like to do offensively. And then we did some Pilates, or we call them Lowlotties. Paul Lowry leads them, so we call them Lowlotties. Some stretching, just to get them limbered up a little bit, and got them out the door. It was a little bit before 5 o'clock, so got them out, and we'll get back to work on Monday.
Yeah, and not only, you know, did they, their offense pretty much dominated, but the special teams, too. I mean, interception for a touchdown, a block punt for a touchdown,
they do such
returns, like you mentioned, on punts as well.
You know, and defensively, they are always in attack mode. They're always working downhill, it's going to take a complete team to give them a run, but. You know, it'll be what it'll be.
Yep.
You know, we're looking now to the postseason here. We get after Lakeview. I actually misspoke on Thursday night. So it is seeding 1 through 6, like I had mentioned. But teams 1 and 2 will get a bye on that Tuesday night. So 3 plays 6 and 4 plays 5.
Okay.
So that's how that's going to work. 1 and 2 will get a bye. And then you play that. The 3 through 6 play Tuesday night.
Well, you mentioned Wednesday against Lakeview, identical records. And probably the winner of that will be number six, probably.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, you take a look at, you know, you kind of put in a basket, I suppose. You got Camby, you got Lakeview, and you've got us kind of all sitting in that same spot as far as who's going to be four, five, and six. Well, right. Kind of that'll work itself out. The coaches are voting this year. We went away from the QRF, and the coaches will vote here. They have to be turned in, I think, by Thursday morning.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay.
There's a possibility of a home game. Yeah. If you end up getting that four seed, yeah, then you're giving yourself a chance to play at home again.
Sure. Sure. Other teams in the program.
Yeah, so week. our JV finished up on Monday night. We hosted McCray, and it was, I believe it was 8-8 into the fourth quarter, and we ended up winning 28-8. So they had a very good season. The juniors that were playing, the sophomores and the freshmen, really kind of mixed them in a little bit here and there, and so they're getting some experience on Friday nights, but they got a lot of experience and some successes on the Mondays. And then the junior high finished up on Tuesday. They went over to Clara City, and the eighth grade was a tie, 6-6, so they finished their season. And then the seventh grade, that was actually their first loss of the year. They lost 20-14.
Okay.
So again, you know, each team, both grade levels got seven games in, and it sounds, you know, they turned in all their stuff on Thursday. They had a pizza party. They were out playing flag football before the varsity game. There was some successes for them as well, and some things learned. And obviously now with those eighth graders, you know, as they look forward, now they're going to be on that freshman. You know, moving up and getting into a different experience.
That's right. And you mentioned at halftime all the elementary kids. You had good turnout for the elementary football.
Yes, we did. We had 67 kids K through 6 register for the flag football, which ran through September. We ran them mostly on Tuesday nights, a couple of Saturdays, and we finished up Thursday night at the halftime. So we had that, and then we had that tackle in August for grades 4, 5, and 6. So some of those kids doubled up, and they've been playing football since August. So yeah. Great experiences for them.
I kind of watched the real little ones, the kindergarten and first graders. The coach would throw the ball, but boy, would they run, and if they were lucky enough to catch the ball, boy, they ran like crazy.
They do. And, you know, for some reason, an out of bounds really doesn't matter to them. Boundaries, no chance. And for some of them, and that's the group that I was working with quite a few times, if the ball didn't, you know, if their hands didn't catch the ball, sometimes their face did. So there was kind of a trapping of the ball on the head and then trying to run. When you slap flags on them, that's like a whole new world for them too, because then they just want to run around and chase each other and grab the flags.
Right.
They're not even really too concerned about the football itself, but good experiences, good fun.
Oh, sure. All right, well, Wednesday night at kickoff at 7 o'clock in Cottonwood, get to play on artificial turf again.
Yeah, this becoming a common theme. What is that now? The third one we have here within our district. So, as we talked about, I think one other time, are you an old school and like the grass and the grass stains and the mud, or are you new school and just like the fancy shiny turf and maybe some carpet burn?
I think on Wednesday night or Thursday night, I mentioned that I drove by the school during the week and they were watering the field. And there were a couple of slippery spots on that, and unfortunately, it was our kids that were slipping on it.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, so, okay, Tony. Well, thanks for the talk. Best of luck on Wednesday night. We'll hear all about it, and along with the possibility of playoffs next Saturday morning.
Sounds good. Thank you,
Tony Smith, on football. After the break, we'll be talking tennis with Dr. Brent Hacker after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week at the Country Butcher in Dawson, New York Strip, $10.99 per pound, and deli cheese, 10% off. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Let's take a look at some things going on around the area this weekend. Today, Come and Go Bridal Shower will be held from 4 until 6 p.m. celebrating Brooke Top, bride-to-be of Connor Oy. That'll be out at the Madison Country Club. Setting the table for hospice is being held at Our Savior's Lutheran Church Fellowship Hall in Canby today. 9 a.m. browsing of tables and a silent auction. At 10 a.m. brunch will be served. At 11 a.m. there will be a program. Cost is $20 per person. There will be some tickets available at the door for that event in Canby today. On Sunday, dance at the Red Barn Prairie Ballroom in Rosen from 1 to 4. Come out and enjoy the music of Leland Harding. On Sunday, there will be a drive-through meatball supper at Watson Lutheran Church from 4:30 to 6 or until the meatballs are gone. Tickets are $12. On the menu, meatballs, real mashed potatoes, gravy, corn, cranberry salad, lefse of bread, and dessert.
Paul Ramel here for Q92 Sports. Join me Tuesday night from Dawson Boyd High School as the Blackjacks host the Ortonville Trojans in the Camden Conference volleyball matchup. 7:15 first serve. That's Dawson Boyd and Ortonville in volleyball Tuesday night right here on Q92.
Well, welcome back to the Culture Show. Turning our attention to girls tennis, and with us this morning is Dr. Brent Hacker, and you had the individual part of the section and some real good results there, Dr. Hacker.
Yeah, we were down in Sioux Falls at an indoor facility called Huther Family Match Point in Sioux Falls. Just a beautiful facility. That they now have 10 indoor courts, so great place to be playing, although the weather these days has been nothing to complain about. At least for tennis, it's been nice and warm. And no snow or rain, so that's good. But we were inside on Thursday, and in that situation, we have two singles entries and two double team entries. In the single side of things, Hannah Oy and Kayla Jan, who have been playing our one and two singles all year, decided to partner up and be a doubles team. So that left a couple singles positions for us to fill because they had been our top singles players all year. And then, I talked to our third singles player, who is, Elsie Wiebe, and then our fourth singles player is Alexis Olsen. Both of them were willing to step up and play singles, and they knew they were kind of getting thrown into the deep end of the pool a little bit, because after playing third and fourth singles, you end up in this 16-entry bracket with primarily one and two singles players. So they knew they had their work cut out for them. Elsie Wiebe ended up the 13th seed and ended up playing Nora Meek, the one singles player from Morris. Elsie did a good job. She hustled. Elsie's been doing a good job keeping the ball deep. Nora's just a more consistent player, stronger player. Elsie ended up losing 6-2 to 6-2 to Morris, and it's single elimination. So after that, she was finished for the day there. And then Alexis Olsen, our fourth singles player, had an even bigger road to hoe there. She played Elle Kletcher, the number one singles player from Benson, and the number two seed overall, And Alexis fought well, had a good attitude, lost the match 6-0, 6-0, but really did a lot of good things. And you know, she's a junior, so she'll be back playing next year. But that ended her season as well. So then we moved over to doubles. Our doubles entries were, as I mentioned, Anna Oy and Kayla Jan got together as our one doubles team. Now, that's a team that had success last year. They made it through the section and were in the state tournament. And they ended up with the third seed overall. And Sadie Hacker, Gertie Sieg have been our 2-1 doubles team all year. And they've had a winning record. They've been solid. They ended up with the fourth seed overall. And both of them played well. Hannah and Kayla matched up against Pipestone to start with. And that was their second doubles team for the year. Hannah and Kayla won 6-1, 6-2. And that put them up against Morris. And Morris is the sixth seed. And that was their true double team for the year. And Hannah and Kayla beat them 6-2, 6-1. So that leaves us facing the two seed, which is Montevideo's true one double team for the year on this coming Tuesday morning. That'll be their semifinal match. And then on the other side of the bracket, Sadie Hacker, Gertie Sieg ended up against the 13th seed, which is the true one doubles team from YME. They won that 6-3, 6-3. And then they ended up against the one double team from Benson, and it went a three-setter. They won the first set pretty convincingly, 6-1. The wheels came off a little bit. Benson picked it up. Benson turned it around, won that second set, 3-6. And then in the third set, things looked to be going our way again. We were up 5-2. You know, just needed another game to kind of end things. But Sadie and Gertie just kind of... They stayed out there. They ended up cleaning it up, taking the third set at 7-5. But it was probably closer than it needed to be in the end there. But that got them into the semifinal match against the one seed at Pipestone, the one doubles team over there. So we've got four teams in the semis for doubles. There's a Pipestone team, a Monty team, and then our two doubles teams from LAC, Dawson Boyd. So, you know, I think we've got a good odd. Two of the four advanced to state. We'll have to play some solid tennis, that's for sure, up against both of these teams. And then the 3A section that we're in plays something called a true second. So even if you lose the first match of the day, there is a possibility of playing back into the tournament, just depending on how everything else shakes out at that finals match and then the third place match. So I think we've got a good opportunity here. Both those teams are solid. And like I said, Kayla and Hannah have been there already. They advanced through last year to state. I know they're very, you know, positive, looking forward to, like, doing their best and hopefully having some good results. And I think Sadie and Gertie, they have a good opportunity as well. Sadie's been a singles player up until this year, so has moved over to doubles and done well. Gertie's that doubles player who's been doubles her whole life, so she understands the game well. And they're good friends, and they match up well on court. So, I'm hopeful, and you know, I'm the coach. I'm positive that, you know, if we have a good day, we can make it challenging for Pipestone on that side.
Sure. And that true second is really good. It takes a lot of pressure out of seeding, and if you can lose, if you should happen to lose in this next round, but then take third place and have not played the loser of the finals, then you get that true second match that you were talking about. So
right, that's a nice way to describe it, Dick. That's probably the easiest way I've heard. So, yeah.
There's some other exactly sports that happens as well. So
So we'll play down at Huser Family on Tuesday morning again. We'll head down Monday night. So pretty pumped up, and hopefully we can get one or both those teams through. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that would be great. So congratulations to them, and regardless, you know they're going to give you the best effort that they have. So that's
100%, right. Yeah.
So all those best of luck. Call back to the station and let us know how they've been doing on Tuesday, and if they should happen to go on, what happens there as well, and then we'll talk about it next Saturday morning on the Culture Show.
That sounds great, Dick. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Nice job. So that's Dr. Brad Hacker on girls tennis. We'll take this break. Mr. Sherb, John Sherb, is having practice, so We'll try to make that connection and talk cross country after this.
Are you a landowner in Lyon, Lincoln, or Yellow Medicine counties? If so, do you know about Invenergy? We are a Midwest-based sustainable energy provider, and our projects will provide homegrown energy and millions of dollars to these counties through community investment, jobs, and landowner payments. To learn more, visit us at our Marshall Regional Office at 300 West College Drive in Marshall, or give us a call at 507-591-5010.
Dawson Boyd Arts Association presents a unique bluegrass and gospel performance featuring the Waddington Brothers in Dawson, Saturday, October 26, 7 p.m. The Waddington Brothers, quartet hailing from North Dakota, who skillfully blend hard-driving bluegrass music with more mellow gospel acoustical tunes. Event sponsors are Peggy Crosby and Dave Peterson. Admission to the concert, $25 for adults, $7 for students. Tickets are currently available online at DawsonBoydArtsPresents.org or at the door, or by calling the box office at 320-312-2311. Don't miss the Waddington Brothers.
Ryan Smith Seeds says it's time to make every seed count with Agri Partners' premier seed line, AP Select. Offering varieties with Enlist E3, Liberty Link GT27, and conventional soybeans, as well as Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans in a premium corn lineup through REA Hybrid. We have a seed product fit for your field. Call Ryan Smith today at 320-226-1079 or Agri Partners at 605-874-2550. Ryan Smith Seeds.
Welcome back to the Culture Show. As I mentioned before the break, we're talking cross country with John Sherb. And John, you had practice, but that's over. I think they're gonna jump in the pool for a while. So
yeah, we're gonna get in the pool, kind of get the legs down a little sure. Cooler this morning, so I'll kind of get them broke down a little bit.
Sure. So just the one event I think this week up in Benson.
Yeah, we ran Benson on Monday, so and that was probably the best weather conditions we've seen all year. Was really mild, cool temperatures, no wind at all, and the kids really showed. I thought the kids, they finally got a chance to see what nice weather is, and they ran like it was nice weather too. So that was a good kind of build up where we were. So, and then we got to see a lot of teams that we haven't seen in a while. Some good teams. So it was kind of close it up before we start getting into conference and sections. Junior high course, they ran a 3K course up there. Our top runner was there was Talia Hursum. She was second, 13 minutes. Then we had Cambry Larson was in 12th at 15:03. Macy Claven was 17th at 16:57, and Claire Foggi was 25th at 21:06. Boys ran that same course also as the girls. And our top runner in there was Kentaro Sorrell. He was 16th at 13:11. Uriah Speck was 17th at 13:13. Eddie Felton was 23rd at 13:40. Aaron Will was 32nd at 15:22. Max Bothan was 24th at 13:50. And then Colton Schoenfeld was 30th at 14:38. The JVs ran with the varsity, but they still split them up off the shoot area. In the JV race, Sadie Rosendahl was 6th with a time of 24:13. Daytona Bissett was 7th at 24:43. Becca Torgerson was 25th at 29:14. Alyssa Sawinski was 12th at 25:33. Ella Stock was 27th at 29:36. And then Celeste Jenkins was 24th at 28:51. And Reese Oxnard was 22nd at 27:50 for a 5K course. JV boys, Brendan Sherb was 34th at 23:24. Peter Hale was 49th at 28:12. Colin Rosendahl, our young eighth grader, we tried him on JV riding the 5K course to see how he ran really well. He was 9th overall at the time of 20:39, so that's a really nice challenge for him to move up another level. And he handled himself very, very well. And it was nice, too, because he got a chance to run with Cade Solom, kind of took him through that and just said, hey, this is where you need to be, and it worked really well to give him some of the runoff of. Varsity girls, we kind of finally got most of our girls back. We got one that's close. She ran part of the race, so she felt good, but we still held her out. I didn't want her finishing. I just want to make sure the calf is still good. But we finally got kind of a decent team put together here. Top runner again, Bryn Glege has been running really well all year, and she really has kind of taken that front side and just keeps moving up on the speed and the times, and it's coming down more yet. She was third overall at 2016. Chloe Glege was eighth at 21-22. Then we had Laura Scherrer at 20th at 23-18. Then Harper Grunnels was 21st at 23-25. Makaya Poost was 29th at 24-44. Shea Bothan was 24th at 23-56. And then Keegan Conroy was 30th at 24-46. So that was, again, I was really happy with the girls. The girls, again, really ran well. We ended up getting second up there. You know, Newland Spicer's got a girls team that's in Double A, and they're fighting to go to state. So it was kind of, they were pretty much clean front on the front side. Then we finished second, and then Border West, who I don't know if we've beat them all year. We really haven't had our full team, but we haven't beat them all year, so we got them. So that was kind of nice to get in that mode of getting a second with the girls. Varsity boys, we're just getting things back. You know, we're trying to get Clark back now with his calf. He's had, and so he ran his first race back and looked very, very sharp. Laverne, he did a time trial down there to see where he's at. So, but Gavin Carl got another victory for us, just to see to win another race. It's really great to see that. He would still ran a decent time by himself. He was first, the time of 16:58. Tayden Clark was eighth at 18:02. Tanner Callis was 14th at 18:31. Luke Stock was 15th at 18:51. Landon Keeman was 19th at 18:58. Matthew Botham was 20th at 19:07. Cade Solom was 35th at 20:47. This team is starting to come around really well. I mean, we put five guys at 19:00. What was Matt? Matt was 19:07. We put five guys 19:07 faster, and that's the tightest we've had that, and I think they're just starting to figure this out a little bit, and they're starting to challenge it, and that'll be good for what we got for the next 2 weeks down the road. Scoring-wise, the boys were third. Monty, they won it with 37, I believe it was, and we were at 50. Then Spicer was at 50, and we were at 52. So a good roundabout run with those bigger schools, and I thought the kids handled it well. So it was really good. A lot of really sharp things, and this hopefully will be a kind of a stepping stone on us for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's a nice flat course to run. I think I guess I've never watched a cross country meet at Benson, but I think they probably crossed the bridge of the river a couple of times, and that's kind of unique too.
Yep, and we ran right around go over the bridge and come right by the river too. So sure. There's some pretty views, and it's a rolling, nothing extreme for hills, but it's got some rolls to it, which is nice. And
right.
And the course was not, you get some of these courses that have no rain, as hard as a rock, and this one was a decent course. It wasn't that hard.
Okay, good. So what's on the agenda for the up and coming week? A short week, and then the section coming up, I think, the week after that.
Yep. Tuesday we go to Raymond. Prinsburg is hosting the conference meet, so we'll go to the conference meet Tuesday. We haven't ran that course, I think when Joel Voorhees and probably Jenna Prestel had ran for us, that's the last time we've ran there. So it's grown a lot of trees since we've been there, so that'll be a good course. We drove by, it's nothing extreme for hills, but it'll be a good course to kind of see where we're at and kind of fit in with the level there. Our goal is always to try to get into that conference, to get another conference title, to add to our team history. And we're going to be in the thick of things. I mean, the girls, it's going to be clear-cut. Camby's going to be way out in front. I think that's going to be a solid mark because they're that good and no one else is really in that level in the conference. Then that second place will be interesting because, we haven't really, this is the first time we beat Border West there in the conference, so that'll put us with them, and Prinsburg has also beat us too. So there's going to be three teams really going to be in that thick of things with a second, third, and fourth spot, and we'll see how our kids will react to that on the girls' side. Boys, it's going to be chasing. Camby has beaten us the last couple. We're starting to get ourselves healthy now, so I'm thinking we're back in with them. So it's going to turn into basically a duel meet between them and us and who can beat at 1, 2, and 3. So it'll be a very, very tight one there. I'm hoping that we can, build off what we ran on at Benson. I think we'll be just fine, and that's just our thing there. And then the top 10 will be all conference on the varsity level, so that's kind of the other thing. We're going to see how many kids we get into the all conference mode too, so that'll be the other thing we're trying to get to. So that'll be the junior high and JVs, and that'll be our kind of our last run with the our basically, as I always call it, our family of the cross country team of competing as one.
Yeah, that's right. And that starts at what time in Raymond?
I just saw a form, and I, to be honest, I haven't had a chance to really look at it. I want to say it's like a 4:30 start. I think it's a 4 o'clock start. So, but again, we'll get that out. But that's in itself. But
okay,
that will be the interesting for us just for next week, and then it's MEA break and everything else, and so then we got to get regroup after that for the next one.
Yeah, and that's in the South this year.
South this year, that's going to be. It'll be interesting to go that far down to the section. So, but nice to have a year off. I need something to kind of relax a little bit. It's a lot. People don't realize how it's not easy putting that baby on, and it's a big monster. And if you aren't careful, it can eat you alive and can ruin your basically 2 weeks of trying to prepare for it.
Yeah, that's right. And the teams that come to the north, if we host it, they like the way that we host it. So that's good.
Okay. No, it's good.
Well, thanks for the chat this morning. Best of luck in Raymond on Tuesday. We'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Perfect. Thank you.
John Sherb on Cross Country. We'll take this break and finish off the Culture Show after this.
See a movie this weekend at the Grand Theater in Madison, showing Friday, October 11th through Monday the 14th. In Theater 1, it's Beetlejuice 2, rated PG-13. And in Theater number 2 at the Grand, it's The Wild Robot, rated PG. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand Theater.
Wednesday night, it's the last regular season high school football game, and it's going to be a good one when the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks travel to Mineota to take on the state-ranked Vikings. 7 o'clock kickoff from Compline Field. It's Dawson Boyd in Mineota in football Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, right here on Q92. Tune in.
One Saturday remains this year to dispose of electronics, bulbs, appliances, and tires at the Lacaparral Special Item Recycling Site. If you still have waste to dispose of, Saturday, October 12th is the last day the recycling site will be open in 2024. The collection is open to all Lacaparral County residents and businesses and accepts appliances, tires, and electronics for a small fee. All bulbs are now free. The collection is open Saturday, October 12th, 8 to noon. Special Item Recycling Site is a former demolition landfill at 2462 241st Avenue. That's located a quarter mile east of Madison and Highway 40, then a half mile north on 241st Avenue. If you have any questions concerning acceptable items or prices, you're asked to contact the Lacaparral County Environmental Office at 320-598-3132. You can also find more details under the Environmental Department on the county website at lqpco.com. Funded by the Select Committee on Recycling and the Environment Score Grant Program.
At Heartland Motor Company, we take you beyond the Chevrolet brand to a hometown sales experience. With industry-wide knowledge, stress-free sales, and our lifetime warranty, the Heartland Advantage, we make it our goal to take care of you on day one or for years to come. But we don't stop there. We take care of our hometown by generously donating to many local groups and organizations. When you choose us, it's not just a Chevy. You get a Heartland Chevrolet. Learn more at heartlandmotor.com.
Together, let's drive at Heartland Motor Company in Morris.
Farmers and Merchants State Bank Insurance Agency in Appleton brings you this fire safety tip. While cooking, pay attention and stay in the kitchen while you are frying, grilling, or broiling food. Turn off the stove if you have to leave the kitchen, even for a short time. Keep a lid nearby when you're cooking to smother small grease fires. Smother the fire by sliding the lid over the pan and turning off the stove. This fire safety tip brought to you by the Farmers and Merchants State Bank Insurance Agency in Appleton, Minnesota.
Well, welcome back to the Culture Show. That pretty much concludes our Culture Show. No volleyball report today because there is an alumni volleyball tournament going on probably as I speak out at the school, and I think there's 13 teams. That's a lot of alumni, so they're coming from all parts of the listening area, and maybe even more than that. And Brooklyn Gold is in charge of that. Plus, she's also going to be participating in one of the 13 teams. But just to give you an idea, they did have two matches this past week, and they swept 3-0 Wheaton Herman Norcross and Dawson Boyd. So maybe we should have her not give a report every Saturday morning, and then but she'll be with the short week of Education Minnesota next week. She will have a home match on Tuesday against Central Minnesota Christian. So if you want to see that team, it will not be on the radio, but go on out to school and watch them as their season, all the seasons are winding down right now. That's the last regular season match for the volleyball team. So that concludes our show. I got kind of a story to tell. If the older people that had me as a Phi-Ed teacher in Madison, the boys and the girls in the fall and the spring would run down to the football field, and I would be riding my old bike. If some of your parents, some of the people remember that old bike that I would ride. And I was going to ride that to the radio station today, but it's kind of broken down. That bike, I couldn't ride because it was too tired. So thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
When it comes to solid foundations, there's only one name you need to know: Wolfslager Concrete. Whether it's a new driveway, a sleek patio, or a robust commercial foundation, Wolfslager Concrete has you covered. With over 20 years of experience and a commitment to quality, our team delivers durable, reliable, and beautifully finished concrete every time. Commercial, agriculture, and residential. They do work in Minnesota and South Dakota. Call Jordan at 320-269-1182 or check out their Facebook page. That's Wolfslager Concrete. It is Fire Prevention Week, and the Boyd Fire Department brings you this important message. Did you know cooking is the number one cause of home fires and home fire injuries? Unattended cooking is the leading cause of fires in the kitchen. So cook with care in the kitchen. This message brought to you by the Boyd Fire Department.
The time now at 9:48. Great music for Dawson, Boyd, and Clarkfield on Q92, KLQP-FM.